You are listening to the One Desire Church podcast, a culture of faith, hope, and love.
All right, let's continue this morning with our identity statement. Would you all join me here? Oh, the coffee is hot, by the way. If you want to grab some coffee, help yourself. Don't be a stranger. We always have time for Jesus and coffee and prayer meetings, right? That's what my bumper sticker says on the back of my car. I for prayer meetings and Starbucks. Sometimes they go together. You can have a prayer meeting at Starbucks, right? Yep. A lot of good conversations. A lot of life has been shared in Starbucks or over a cup of coffee. Let's do this here together. Again, a reminder of who we are and what God has done in our lives and how we respond to what he's done in our lives. The Apostle Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Y'all know what that idea of transformation of your mind. Yesterday afternoon, we got home after being here at the library for a Lego robot activity where the kids made Legos and robots, and they had this try to push the other person's Lego robot out of a circle, and so it was just a lot of fun. And we got home. Oh, we had a blast. We had a blast. It was like every daddy's dream. It was so much fun to watch the dads. I mean, like, literally, we had to sit on our hands, you know. So we wanted to jump in there so bad with our kids, but the kids did great. So we're sitting around the lunch table, and I asked each of them three questions. I said, from this morning, what was a disappointment? And it was amazing. Each of them, they had something right away that they were disappointed about or frustrated about the Lego time. And some, it was, they were on a team, and some of them, it was, you know, my teammate didn't listen to me, or I couldn't get the pieces to fit just right the way I wanted it to. And then I asked the question, what was something that was special from this morning and y'all doing something together? And I said, well, we met somebody new, and we built something we'd never built before, and one of them won the robot, Lego robot competition. And then lastly, I said, what is the memory that you are going to choose whenever you think about this morning and what we did? What is the memory that you're going to allow to come to the forefront of your mind? What are you going to let to come surface when you look back on today? In a few years, what is that first thought that's going to come back? And they said the good thought. They said the thing that they liked, the thing that made them happy. There's a battle sometimes in our lives, a conflict, a struggle to not be conformed to the way this world looks at things and thinks about things. And we have to sometimes be intentional. And I think the Holy Spirit leads us and draws us into that place of intention, brings us to that place of saying, I'm going to choose to see things from a different perspective, from a higher perspective. It's easy to have that negative ready to come out and to shoot from the hip without even thinking about it, but to have a new pattern, a new way of looking at life. And our identity statement is just that, our way of looking at ourselves, our way of looking at Jesus. Who are we and how do we respond and react in our world today? Let's do this together. I am not what's been done to me, but what Jesus has done for me. I am not what I do, but what Jesus has done. What I do doesn't determine who I am. I follow Jesus, and as his follower, he determines what I do. Thank you. And we are in a conversation about speaking truth to power, and specifically, in the book of Amos, we're going to talk about our ground of being. What is that place that we find our base of operation? What is the one thing, that one constant in our lives that sustains us, that guides us, that fills us, that moves us in our lives? If you have your scriptures with you this morning, Amos chapter 4 is where we're going to begin reading. We're just going to look at the first five verses or so. This term, ground of being, came into was first coined by a philosopher by the name of Paul Tillich in the middle 20th century. And he had a lot of just kind of crazy, way out there things that he put forth. Philosophers tend to have some really far out there ways of looking at things. You all have a friend who's kind of that philosopher. They're always using words and these pictures, and you're just kind of like, ooh, wow, you've been thinking about that a long time. I'm going to have to think about it and chew on it a while. I like people like that in my life. I like people who push me in a direction that I've never gone before. He coined this term, ground of being, as a way of talking about who God is, what God is all about, that we find God as the one who is, and the Apostle Paul put it this way, causing all things to consist, causing all things to hold together. God is the one who holds all things together. The Apostle Paul, in another place in the Mars Hill address, he said that in him, God, we live and move and we have our, what? Being. We find our ground of being in God. The Apostle Paul, there in his Mars Hill address, he uses poetry that was popular in his time. So it was pop culture. It wasn't religious or Christian poetry that he was using. He took something that their philosophers of the day, they had seen something, they had felt something, they had experienced something, and the way that they described it was there is this ground of being that we all find ourselves planted on. We find that stability for our feet. What is your stability this morning? What is your stability? What is your ground of being? What is my ground of being? There's times in my life where my ground of being has been the Bible. And I've gone to Scripture and I have found that Scripture has spoken directly to my heart and met those needs that I needed. That I was desperate for clarity, for understanding, for direction, and God's Word spoke right into that place. There's been times where I found my ground of being in a conversation with a good friend who spoke some hard truth, but nonetheless, truth to me, something that I needed to hear. I found that my footing was on solid ground, and someone was helping me, a friend was helping me find that stability in my life. Just as we read in the wisdom scripture of the Hebrew Bible, as iron sharpens iron, so another man's what? Countenance. That interaction, that life together sharpens the life of a friend, someone else with you. Let's begin reading Amos chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountains of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring, that we may drink. The Lord God has sworn by his holiness that, behold, the days are coming upon you, and they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you, with fish hooks, and you shall go out through the breaches, each one straight ahead, and you shall be cut, or rather cast out into Harmon, declares the Lord. Come to Bethel and transgress, to Gilgal and multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving of that which is leavened, and proclaim free will offerings. Publish them, for so you love to do, O people of Israel, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you that you are our ground of being, that in you we live and move and have our being, that in you, Jesus, you cause all things to consist. I thank you that we have this beautiful gift of abiding in you, and that you abide in us. I pray that you would continue to just wake us up, to show us, to reveal to us how close you really are to us, how our footing is sure. We receive your life and we receive your love this morning. speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, speak to the very fabric of our physical bodies, and bring your healing in your life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is some interesting terminology that's used, and if you didn't grow up 2,000, 3,000 years ago, some of the terminology is a little bit strange and different. Here the prophet Amos, he's launching into his second sermon. And he's confronting those of his day who, they had this form of godliness, but when it came time to actually live it out, they weren't living it out. There was a, hey, we go to church, we do the right things so that people can see us within our community of the people who really are important to us, the people we want to impress. But then underneath, on the below the surface, there was a different way of interacting with other people. Have you ever had that moment when you're on your way to Sunday morning gathering and you're yelling and screaming and there's fussing and fighting, and as soon as you open the door to walk into the gathering, it's happy face, church face, it's everything is good face, it's peace, calm, cool, and collective kind of a moment. Well, we each have those days where we cry out for God's mercy, and that there is a consistency, there is a steady flow of good things in our lives. What the prophet Amos is addressing is this taken the people not having a good day and having a bad day, but their way of interacting with people always. When you're around the people like you, you treat them a certain way. When you're around the people who are different from you, you treat them so totally different. There was a caste system that had taken place within Israel. There were the haves and there were the have-nots. And this attitude of we are superior because of what we have, and we're going to continue to profit on the backs of those who don't have, is what the prophet Amos is speaking to here in his book, these few nine chapters. He is very blunt and kind of in your face in some things. I want to just bring out a couple things here. The second sermon that he gives, he brings out some very important things that it's important for us to just kind of pause. He's talking about those who, what to the poor? Oppress the poor, who crush the needy. We'll stop right there. There was a hardness of heart that had taken place within a culture, within a people group. They were looking at those around them, and when they saw the need, when they heard the need, they did what? They just passed on by. Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Remember the Good Samaritan? Somebody gets the raw end of a deal and gets jumped and then beat up, and they're laying on the road dead after these robbers took what they wanted. And in this moment of great need, several people pass by and come up to where this person literally laying in the road is bleeding and hurt. And what is the thought of those who were a little higher in society at the time, those who were the spiritual elite or the ones who had it together, the people that we would like to go to Starbucks with and have coffee because it would make us look good? That what they did is they crossed to the other side of the street, and they turned a blind eye to that pain and that suffering. And that's what Jesus was confronting in his day and age. It's what Amos is confronting here in his day and age. When you see a need, you embrace the person who is in need, and you ask, hey, can I help you? How can I help you? Not, I have a plan for your life, let me fix you, but how can I help you right now? Beautiful story of someone who was the outcast himself, the Good Samaritan. He was viewed by his culture, his day, the elite, as somebody who was receiving the frown of God upon his life. And he wasn't in a place where he could be blessed by God. And yet what was he doing? He was embracing those and being a blessing to those who were in pain. Secondly, it brings out this idea of who say to your husbands, bring that I may drink. There was just an attitude of laziness. It was, others are there to serve me and to meet my needs. If you will, I hate to bring up anything political this morning because I've sworn that I wouldn't, but I'm supposed to say this, so I'm just going to say it. The attitude of, am I going to get something or am I going to give something? And that's huge. Right now I have a child that is very much in that place of, if my sibling is not going to give me something, then I'm not going to give them anything. If my sibling is not going to profit me in a particular way, then I don't want anything to do with them. It's like very transactional. Very transactional. You all know what that is. Have you ever been around somebody who's very transactional in the way that they interacted with you? They weren't free and they weren't open, and there wasn't this, I love you for who you are, but it was an attitude, whether it was spoken or you felt it in your heart, they're loving me for what they can take from me. I get phone calls from different people in my life who I've worked with or worked for, and there's those moments where in the back of my mind, I think it's the Holy Spirit speaking, that discernment that says, be careful what you say in this conversation. The reason they're calling might not necessarily be transparent and clear in this situation, especially when they start asking questions and looking for information. And I'm like, oh, I need to kind of back up here, because they said they called me because they just want to hear how I'm doing and catch up. But then there was another motive, and it takes a little while sometimes for that motive to become clear. Here, there was an attitude of, I want to be. What's interesting is the prophet Amos is actually kind of getting a little dirty in the way that he is communicating, because he would have been speaking to a male-dominated culture. It was very patriarchal. So he's speaking to the men. Eventually it would have been filtered down to the ladies in the community. So he's looking at these men and he's saying, what are you doing? What are you doing who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, bring that we may drink? He's looking at the guys in the community and he's saying, there has been a little bit of a role reversal. As I looked at several different commentators, several of them agreed that this was an insult to the maleness of the hearers in that moment, that they are being they're being lazy and good for nothing in this setting. I don't have any other nice way to put it. Don't ask what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. There's an attitude that Amos is addressing here. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's what I'm getting in this situation. The Lord has sworn by his holiness that, behold, the days are coming upon you, and they shall take you away with hooks, even the last of you with fish hooks. Now, if you open up a commentary or a Bible dictionary, or you Google what was a fish hook in biblical time, it's this huge hook, not a small little fish hook. It's a hook that literally they would connect into someone's face, a slave, someone who was going to be hauled off into slavery. And there was no way for them to get away from it. It was painful. It was disfiguring. It was not pleasant. Something that you might have a picture in your mind. Have you ever seen a bull with a ring in its nose? If you want to control a bull, all you have to do is tie rope to that ring. Why? Because that's a tender place. And you move the rope over here, what's that bull going to do? Big, huge, muscular bull with horns that you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley. It's going to follow you like a little baby, gentle, meek, and mild. Why? Because there's that pain there. The picture of selfishness being fulfilled and coming to that place of you're living out the fruit of it is not a pretty picture that Amos is painting here in this moment. We could go so deep and meditate on some of these passages that I encourage you to do that. Take a look at Amos chapter 4 and look at some of these passages. Think about, what is he saying? How does it apply to us in our lives? Secondly, come to Bethel and transgress to Gilgal and multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving, that which is leavened, and proclaim free will offerings. Publish them, for so love to do, O people of Israel. Again, Jesus walks into the temple and he sees this interesting picture, this story playing out before him. Here is a widow who's placing her tithe into a small box, very quiet, not making a lot of noise for herself. What does she do? She just walks over and she places it in the offering box. And then you have this religious person, this person, again, that we would feel very comfortable with having into our home or interacting with. And they are expressing with pompous prayers how great their love is for God, and they're tithing all of this great, they're sacrificing all of this for God. And again, in that moment, it's the purpose of pride, it's the purpose of lifting one's self up among those who are within hearing or sight distance, so that I can look, so that we can look like we have it together. You ever have that moment of awareness that there's other people watching me? And that's a good thing. It's good to be reminded there are people watching, their little ones, their friends, their neighbors, their coworkers. But when it comes to loving the way that Jesus loved, when it comes to waking up and seeing that the foundation that I'm standing on, that ground of being that I'm operating from, moves me in a particular direction, that it holds me in a particular place where I do not have to toot my own horn, but that I can, in a very meek and humble, gentle and lowly way, have my eyes opened up and to see those who are in need, and to embrace and to love and to give. Jesus shared many different stories. This idea of God's love for us and missing out on the true heart of what the gospel is all about comes through here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Let's read this together. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who will reward you openly. There are those moments in our lives when we realize that what I am operating from is in contradiction, is in opposition to where God has brought me. Have you ever had that moment? And you're like, oh, wow, I've been doing this. I've had this pattern in my life. I've had this way of seeing people or interacting with people. And then I come to a place of realizing my ground of being is God. My firm foundation, that footing, what is causing me to live and to embrace life here in this moment is God's love for me. And I am not agreeing with that love that is for me, but I am actually fighting or holding that back in my life when I am giving in a particular way with a particular attitude, or I am overlooking some of the small needs around me. And the light comes on and the eyes open up and I see, wow, this is what I'm grounded in. I'm grounded in God's love. And you know what? This doesn't make sense anymore for me to live my life in a particular direction. What we call that is call that conviction. Have you ever been under conviction? Or do you know that you know that you know that I have been resisting God's love for me and God's love flowing through me to others? In that moment, I step back and I say, I understand. I understand that your love is the goal, but there's something that's kept me back from that. Something that's kept me back from that. And so whatever needs to take place in my life, however I need to respond to your work of guiding and directing me to let go of whatever is blocking that light in my life, I'm willing to do that. A beautiful piece of scripture that we find in the book of Ezekiel. This promise that God was willing to do whatever it took to bring his life and to bring his love to us, to change what is on the inside so that we can see and embrace fully what he has for us. Let's read this together. Ezekiel 6:25-27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness. From all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Now the rules here are not this idea of a cosmic Santa Claus who is making his list and checking it twice to see who's naughty or nice. No, what Ezekiel is referring to is God's plan from the very beginning for us to have a heart that is open and receptive to him and to walk in that. God's rules simply show us, they remind us of the destruction we are going to step into. Just as Amos was foretelling of the destruction that was going to come as a whole people group rejected God's love for others around them. God's laws, God's rules in our lives are those reminders. If I continue in this direction, that I am only going to bring destruction into my life. Remember that picture of a fish hook? God's instruction, his word, reminds us, hey, you're getting trapped and you're going to be taken somewhere where you don't want to go. And by the way, it's somewhere where God doesn't want us to go either, because he wants us to embrace the best that he has planned for each of us in our lives, his love. What are the moments in your life? What moments in your life have changed the way you see your ground of being? Have you ever had a fishhook moment where you're realizing, I'm getting pulled in a direction that I really don't want to go? This is unpleasant. This is not pretty. I'm realizing, I'm waking up that my feet are grounded in God's love, and I have that confidence and that affirmation that God is with me, but yet my words and my actions keep showing that there's something else here. What moments in your life have changed the way you see your ground of being? Sometimes they're hard moments. They're painful moments. But what's beautiful is God's grace and His mercy for us, that no matter what takes place, no matter what we face, no matter what the shaking that we are experiencing in our lives, each of those moments of shaking are there to reveal to us what our true foundation is, what our ground of being really is. We also have those happy moments in our lives that I would say were a wake-up call to what I was finding my solid footing on. I saw the birth of my first child, held him in my hands. There's been some sunsets that reminded me of what was most important to me. There's been those moments where I've been going throughout my day minding my own business, and all of a sudden there was that sense of God's presence and that awareness that everywhere I go, He is preparing the way for me. And that love, that path of love, the Apostle Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, is the solid foundation, the solid ground that I am walking on in my life. What moments in your life have changed the way you see your ground of being? Why don't we all stand? I want to take just a moment here this morning to be reminded that God has given us a new heart, and that His Spirit still cleanses and washes and frees us from those things that would take away from the life that He has intended for us to experience. Why don't we all just bow and in our heart just acknowledge that, Jesus, we receive. We receive the work in our hearts. We receive the fresh and life-giving Spirit. Going to take a moment, and if you're asking the question right now, what does it mean to have God as my ground of being? What does it mean to have His love as the foundation in my life? I just want to say that's a great question to ask. It's a beautiful question to ask. It's a question that when we ask it, it begins a journey in our lives of walking with someone who knows us and loves us even better than we know and love ourselves or love the people around us. And it starts just simply by saying yes to God's love in our lives through Jesus. So right now, we just pause and say, thank you, Jesus, for inviting us to find our footing in your love, wherever we walk, wherever we go. We choose to walk with you whether this is our first step walking, or we've taken many, many steps with you, we thank you. Journey begins with saying yes to Jesus and welcoming Jesus to come and be a part of our lives. May the Lord Jesus Christ, who continues to walk with us and talk with us and to prepare the ground of each of our being, be alive and well in our hearts and in our minds and in our bodies this week. May each of us, with boldness and courage, take those moments to stop and to rest and to receive the words of life that go down to the innermost being, that are at work changing and transforming the way that we see ourselves, the way we see God, and the way that we see the people around us. And may we not just love God in word, but may we love God in deed and love our fellow man in deed as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the One Desire Church podcast. For information on gathering times and how you can support the podcast, please visit onedesirechurch.org.